You'll find a box at the back as you go out or come in. Put your offerings and your tithes in there, and I'm sure God will use them and bless them for His glory. So if you can do that, that's fine. Otherwise, the newsletter has the church account. You can just put in a direct debit. Is it debit? Yes. Direct debit, and it'll go into the church account to be used for God. Do that. Whichever way is convenient for you, do that. Let's worship the Lord by giving. By the way, what day is Wednesday? Wow, Australia Day. Wednesday, the 26th of January, is Australia Day 2022. Many will be becoming citizens of Australia on that day, all around the country. There are three types of residents in Australia. They are the temporary residents. Actually, it's going to be recorded now, so it'll be uploaded. And if you miss the message or you want to check on the pastor, see if he's preaching right, go and listen to it again. Give him a call. Tell him, ooh, that's not correct. So, there are three types of people in Australia. There are the temporary residents, including the visitors. They're temporary, they come and go. There are the permanent residents, and there are the citizens. Have I done something wrong here? No? All right. So there are three types of residents in Australia, and Marge and I can remember the day we came to Australia. We were temporary residents. We were students. Came to do some further theological study at BCV and go back to the ministry God called me to. That was our plan. What did they say? Man proposes, but God disposes. That's what He did for us. And both of us were not happy that He wanted us to stay here. Now we say, I'm so glad I obeyed You, Lord. I'm still not over, not finished yet. Still, God has more for me to do. So we were temporary residents, and then we became permanent residents when we felt God was leading us to stay here. And we went through the process, and there we were. And we've pastored several churches during that time. But a few years after that time, the Lord confirmed to us that we're not going back anymore. We've got to adopt the people here as our people. That's what we did in 1992. So we became citizens of Australia. It's a long time ago, but we're so thrilled to be here. Actually, 30 years ago. So we moved from being a temporary resident to a permanent resident to a citizen of Australia. The same is true with the kingdom of God. We're talking about the conflict of the two kingdoms. We're in that series. And today I want to hone in on the residents of the kingdom of God. By the way, there's a sheet of my outline, which Russell and Franz will be handing out. Put your hand up. Don't miss out. I heard last Sunday somebody missed out, but you got one at the end. That was good. So, and if any of the other outlines you're missing, let me know. I could email it to you. No sound. Oh, there we go. Wired for sound. All right. Scriptures, and I want to read one verse for you. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. He says, but people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Well, if we don't have the time to study it all today, but I've got a number of references for you to look up, and also I'll go through some of them. But Paul calls three types of people who belong to the kingdom of God. He calls them the temporary residents, which is the natural carnal person, and the permanent residents who want to follow Christ, and then the citizens. The natural people, the permanent people, and the citizens of the kingdom of God. So there are three types of people. Paul refers to these as three categories in the kingdom of God: natural people, carnal people, and spiritual people. Who are the natural people? Natural people are those without Christ. Everyone else who doesn't know Jesus, they are the natural. You were once a natural person too. So was I. We were all part of that kingdom. But when we transferred into the kingdom of God, how do we do that? There's only one dividing line. In a couple of weeks, you're going to see a banner up here that will reveal it all to show us exactly what are the two kingdoms, how the two kingdoms fall. And the dividing line for the two kingdoms is the cross. There's no other way to transfer from one kingdom to the other but through the cross, through Christ. There's no other way. So the natural person, Paul calls it in the King James Version, natural man. Other translations use natural people. But when they come to transfer into the kingdom of God, they come through the cross, repent of their sins, believe in Jesus as the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and who takes away the sin of the world, the Lamb of God, and are baptized into Him, into Christ, into His body, and then receive the Holy Spirit and live by the Spirit. It's a progression. It's a time. It keeps you move. Some move faster, some don't. So let's look at these three residents of the kingdom of God. First, the temporary residents. Paul refers to them as the carnal Christians. Now, who are these? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, Paul says here, I'm reading the King James, like the natural man, Paul says, or the unregenerated person, they too are controlled by the flesh. Okay? And Paul is talking here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. He's talking to brothers and sisters. Think about it. People who belong to the church at Corinth. And he says, dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I could not talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world, or as though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready. Look at that qualification. For you are still, this is God's word through Paul, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you willing to live like people of the world? Are you living like people of the world? If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Not my words. I'm so glad I'm a preacher that I can say, that's not my words. There you are. There you will find disorder and evil and every kind of thing. But the wisdom from above is, first of all, here it is, pure. It is also peace-loving. It's gentle at all times and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of the good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. God's word to us this morning. So the carnal Christians, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church and saying, within you, there are the people who are still being controlled by that sinful nature, who are living like the old way that they lived. And I've come across too many Christians who've been living like that for a long, long time. I'm going to give you an illustration. What if, some of you are parents, what if you had a little baby, and you did have one, and then you found that that baby was just the same as the day that baby was born, 6 years later, 10 years later, 20 years later, the baby was still small but growing a mustache and beard, and you had to shave them. And you had to just feed the milk, no teeth, just milk every morning, every night. And you know, that's how God must look at some of us today and say, you're not growing up. You haven't grown your teeth yet. You can't chew on the bones and eat that chicken so good. You're still drinking milk because you're being controlled by your sinful nature. That's what Paul says, very clear. Carnal thinking generates internal war, not only within us, but within the kingdom of God. It happens. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17 says, so I say, the same apostle writing this, so I say, but he's writing it to the Galatian church now, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. That's the key, number one. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. What did Jesus say to the apostles before he left? In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he said, wait in Jerusalem until you are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be my witnesses. And that word is very true for you and me today. If we're not empowered by the Holy Spirit and we're trying to live our lives on the willpower screw, it will always not succeed. There are many Christians living on willpower. I will do this, I will do that, I will. Like a young man who married a girl and his mother-in-law was coming to visit them 2 months after they were married. And then the guy said, oh dear, my mother-in-law is coming. I better be on my best behavior. I think it was the other way around, the girl. And so she said, she went in the room, locked herself. I will be good to her. I'll make her happy. I'll do this. I will, I will, I will. When she came, she was wonderful. She did everything her mother-in-law wanted her to do. And her mother-in-law, the first few minutes, said, oh, look, this meal is lovely, but that's not what my son loves. Oh, yes, mother, what does he love? Oh, you must cook it this way. I'll show you how to do it. You know this tablecloth? What a beautiful cloth. But my son loves blue tablecloths, not green. After 1 week, the young lady said, what do I do? She went in the room and she locked the room and said, Lord, I will, I will, I will. Help me try. Help me, help me, help me. She went out again, did it for another week, and the mother-in-law came to her at the end of that week and said, you know, because the girl was saying, wow, mom's going this afternoon. And when they're having lunch that day, the mother-in-law said, you know, dear, you're such a wonderful wife for my son. Everything that I said, you've done. I want to stay another 3 months with you. That's like many of us. The girl went into her room, shut the door and said, I will for 3 months, I will. But she found that the willpower spring was broken. And we live our lives on the willpower screw, trying to please God in our own human strength, and we fail every time. And Jesus said, I am sending the Holy Spirit, and He will teach you. He will guide you. Read John chapter 16. Jesus said it. He will lead you into all truth. Instead of depending on the Holy Spirit, we're depending on our willpower. And that's why we are being controlled by the sinful nature. Paul goes on and says, you won't be doing what the sinful nature craves if you let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your own good intentions. So important thing is for us to remember this, that the more we surrender to the Holy Spirit's guiding, leading, prompting, and empowering us, the more victorious we will become. Otherwise, for the rest of our lives, we will be temporary residents of the kingdom of God, just carnal Christians. In verse 24, I like it. I like this verse. Those who belong to Christ Jesus. Is that you? I know it's me. This is what we should have done. If you haven't yet done it, do it today. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature where? To the cross of Jesus Christ. And crucify them there. By the way, anyone who was nailed to the cross never came back alive. Think about it. The two criminals beside Jesus, they were killed before they were taken down from the cross. Jesus gave up his spirit before he was taken down from the cross. And if we identify with his crucifixion, we too should nail our passions and our desires and our sinful nature with him on that cross and leave it there. Don't take it down. Many people pray and go away and carry up their burdens again on top. When you go to God in prayer, leave it there and walk away. Leave it under him. I can keep going, but I'll stop there. So they're not only carnal Christians, but they're also extreme. It's an extremely risky position to remain for the rest of your life. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 8 says, this is what the life in the Spirit is. So now there is no condemnation to those who belong to Christ Jesus. And many people put a full stop there and say, that's it. No, that's not it. Because he goes on and says, and because you belong to him. There you go. Yes, keep going. The power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you, past tense, am I right? Has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. And many Christians are grappling with the power of the Spirit and the power of sin in their lives. And quite often the Spirit gets defeated because we yield to the power of sin. The battle is going to keep going, but we face it in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 3 says, the law of Moses was unable to save because of the weaknesses of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his one and only Son in a body, like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us. God's word. Giving his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. The sin's control over our lives should be broken at the cross. Verse 4, he did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Holy Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature
think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about the things that please the Holy Spirit. So let your sinful nature control your mind. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting your spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. I'm so glad I can take those words and say, those are the words of God to your heart and my heart today. Stop living in the fleshly way, in the sinful, controlled way. If there's no difference between our life and the person on the street out there who doesn't know Jesus, what's the purpose of coming to Christ? Come on, tell me. Many people say, I'm saved because I'm going to heaven now. No, Jesus never once said, I'm saving you to go to heaven. He said, I'm come to save you from the bondage of sin and death. That's what Jesus said. I'd rather trust Jesus than anyone else. The temporary residents that we just looked at are carnal Christians who've had an experience with Christ. But that's why many of them drift away and are gone back. And I know theologians and scholars and Christians would love to say, oh, once they're saved, they're saved forever. Nowhere does the scripture say that. By their fruits, you will know who they belong to. If someone says, oh, I don't like Christ anymore, I don't follow him anymore, and someone told me, oh, he's born again because he gave his life to Christ once upon a time, so he's in the kingdom. I said, come on, let's look at God's word. Not what we like to see happen, but it's there. The truth is there. Temporary residents, their minds are set on earthly things, sensual things, and evil things. James tells us that in chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. You can read it up. Their carnal thinking generates internal war, Galatians 5, 16 and 17. Carnal desires must be crucified with Christ. If it's not, let's crucify them now. Then we can move on from being carnal Christians or temporary residents to permanent residents with Christ. I'm going to show you what happens when that happens. Carnal desires must be crucified. I showed you in Galatians 5:24. And it's extremely risky to continue living a carnal Christian life. I think that's about it. We're tired of that. And let's look at some of the permanent residents, like you. Oh, no, you're the next group, isn't it? Citizens of the kingdom. Yeah, we're coming to you too. So just a minute. Let's look at this. It's good for us to understand what the scriptures has laid out for us. And so permanent residents or spiritual Christians, these are those of us who are spiritual Christians. We are permanent residents. A, they are focused on spiritual things. I had someone come to me and say, someone from our family, extended family, Charles, you always talk about spiritual things. I said, why not? He said, why not talk about some other things? I said, I do talk about other things, but you always bring the spiritual side in. I said, what can I do? I'm living in the spiritual kingdom. What else can you expect? That's right. Well, I'm also in that kingdom. Then go on, let's speak. Why should we be offended? Let's talk about spiritual things. They are focused on spiritual things. Now, if you are a spiritual Christian, a permanent resident of the kingdom of God, listen to what Paul says in Romans 13, verses 12 to 14. If that's you, say amen, that's me. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right or righteous living. Because we belong to the day. Yep. We must live decent lives for all to see. I've heard Christians say, oh, we are same like them too, but we belong to Christ. We do the things that they do too, but we belong to Christ. Come on, that's contrary to God's word. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness. And many of us will say, that's not us. All right, let's keep moving on. In sexual promiscuity, definitely not me. And immoral living, absolutely not us. Or in quarreling, long time ago, not now. Jealousy, getting closer. I can keep going, but that's what Paul says to the Roman church. Instead, clothe yourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, my friends, wherever we go, whoever we talk to, must, when we leave them, must sense, wow, I felt like Jesus was there with us. That's how we should be representing Christ today. And I pray that that will be true of me, just as I'm sharing it with you. I've preached it to myself already. Preached it one more time last night and said, Lord, that's what I want to be. And don't let yourself think about the ways to indulge in evil desires. That's what Paul says here. Every thought of those who are permanent residents of the kingdom of God, or spiritual Christians, is under the captivity of the Lordship of Christ. I'm using King James Version now for those of you who love the King James Version. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 6. 3 to 6, and especially verse 5. Okay. Now I, Paul, appeal to you with the gentleness and, look at that, he's appealing with the gentleness and kindness of Christ. Though I realize you think I am timid in person and bold only when I write from afar off. It's easy to write, isn't it? Not easy to talk. Well, I'm begging you, Paul says, now so that when I come, I won't have to be bold with those who think we act from human motives. We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. And after you have become fully obedient, we will punish everyone who remains disobedient. This is the verse that I like. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself, King James Version, against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity some of our thoughts, to the obedience of Christ. Am I right? King James Version readers? Some of our thoughts? All of our thoughts. The next thing about spiritual Christians is that they actively pursue peace. You want to know who is a spiritual Christian? He or she will be that person who is actively pursuing peace in every situation. Ephesians 4, verse 3. Another one of those favorite verses of mine. Make some effort, if you can, to keep yourselves united in spirit. What's wrong? I'm glad you're awake. That's why I do it, so that we can see it. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in spirit, binding yourselves together with... You're not looking at the scripture. Okay, I'll give it to you. It's peace. Yes, you must have the love. You must have the joy of the Lord. The next one is peace. For there is, I was going to say 25 bodies. No, there's one body and one spirit. Just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future, there is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. Permanent residents, spiritual Christians, they actively pursue peace with all people. Do you mean I have to be at peace with those who don't agree with me? Absolutely. You can be at peace and say, don't agree with you. I still love you with the love of the Lord. Correct? I want to summarize this by saying, they never carry a grudge. Yeah? Yes. They are very quick to forgive. They are quick to trust. And they are quick to suffer when others treat them unfairly. The way of the world is different to that. And many Christians have adopted the way of the world. And that's exactly what one of our forefathers of the gospel, Billy Graham, said. Instead of the church going into the world has come into the church. So sad. And we've adopted and adjusted to be like the world when Jesus wants us to come out and be separate from the world as the kingdom of God. I'll move to you now, citizens. What did I call the citizens on your sheet? Oh, yeah, living in Victoria. There you go. That's a good one. Living in Victoria, we should be? Victorious. Only 7 people said victorious. But that's what the victorious Christians are. Living in Victoria, who are citizens of the kingdom. You know your citizenship is secure. You know, for the last 30 years, I feel like a citizen of this country. This is my land. You are my people. That's why I'm here. To serve you, to love you, and to show you what God has in store for all of us. As long as I have breath, I'll keep doing it. Let's move on. Let's finish up. Otherwise, Reese will turn my switch off. No, he won't do that. Okay, look at these citizens. And I want you to say, Lord, that's the kind of person I want to be for your kingdom at Wonthaggi Baptist Church. Amen? A, they are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5, verse 18. It's a command. It's not a maybe, or maybe it's if you feel like it. No. It's a choice for you. No. It's a command. It says, don't be drunk with wine. You say, that's not me. I don't drink wine. That's okay. It's all right. Because that will ruin your life. I'm especially looking at the younger generation here and older ones. Don't be given to wine because that can ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And only you and only I can say, yes, is that true in our lives? You'll know it if you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You'll know that the Spirit is in control of every part of your life. The victorious Christian or the permanent citizen, or not permanent, the citizen of the kingdom of God is the victorious Christian who is controlled by the Holy Spirit. Who is holding the steering wheel of your life? Who is guiding you? Who is teaching you? Is it the Holy Spirit? Secondly, B, their conduct is unmistakable. If you're a citizen of the kingdom of God, your conduct will be unmistakable. Galatians 5, 22 to 25. Why have I got so many lovely scriptures that I love so much? I don't know, but it's true. I love this one. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Someone said love before. Here it is. Love, joy, peace, patience. Oh, really? Yes. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. What's the next one? Gentleness. Wow. And the last one is very important. Self-control. Someone told me, I wish I had another 5 minutes. I would have given him another bit of my tongue. I said, if you did that, you won't be talking to me now. You'll have lost your tongue. Yeah. There is no law against these things. There's no law anywhere in the world against any of these fruit of the Holy Spirit. No one can stop you. And here it is, verse 24. Those who belong, who are citizens, who belong to Christ Jesus, once again he says, have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. They're on the cross. They're not with you anymore. The battle is there to go back and do it. But that's where the Holy Spirit can help us be victorious. Verse 25, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in some parts of our lives. Yes, in all the parts of in every part of our life. Next one. Their conduct is unmistakable. Their lifestyle is described in Matthew 5, Matthew 6, and Matthew 7. Jesus gave us a scale to compare ourselves by what he expects for his kingdom people, his citizens. Read through that sermon of Jesus and ask yourself the question, is that me? Am I living like that? Because that's what the Holy Spirit will help us to be. Not in our own strength, but in the strength of his Spirit. Finally, victorious Christians or citizens of the kingdom are free from the power of sin that lead and are led by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, verses 1 and 2, which I did read to you earlier. Let's read it again. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus, and because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Therefore, verse 12, dear brothers and sisters, you can read all those verses in between, they're great words. You have no obligation, here it is, no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. You know, the Christian church has lulled itself into believing that we have to live the rest of our lives with our sinful nature, which is contrary to God's word. We must learn to put to death our sinful nature. That's God's word. And yield to the Holy Spirit more and more. So all those sinful urges, he says, that you have no obligation to do those things. Verse 13, for if you live by its dictates, that's the sinful nature's dictates, you will die. Full stop. But if through the power of the Spirit, you, don't ask the Lord to do it, say you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. Not my words. Verse 14, for all who are led, the citizens, the victorious Christians, all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Hallelujah. Yeah, you can use hallelujah. It's in the scriptures. It means you praise the Lord. I'm praising him now. And finally, they are more than conquerors. They're not just conquerors. I like this word. There's no word for more than conquerors. But this is what Paul says here. 1 Corinthians 15, 57 to 58. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory over sin and death. There you go. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to follow someone in the world and be like them? Follow Jesus. Follow his example. Do what he did. Live like him. You're going to see it. Verse 58. So, my dear brothers and sisters, he's saying it to us today. Be strong and immovable. That's my plan. To be strong and immovable. Always working. My translation says enthusiastically for the Lord. Enthusiastically. And God is looking for many more in his kingdom to step up. And I'm going to challenge everyone here in the church and all those who will be listening. By the way, it's online again. You can go listen to it again. Thanks for all the step-ups that have been taking place. Thanks be to God that we can work, and we need to step up and more step up for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Nothing. Do not let sin control. Sin cannot control these victorious Christians because they are more than conquerors. Do not let sin control the way you live. Romans 6, verse 12. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body, there it is, so specific, become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves half-heartedly to God. Thank you. I'm glad you correct the pastors. Because I want us to see what God is saying here. Instead, give yourself completely to God. For you were dead, past tense. And now you have a new life. So use your whole body as an instrument of that new life to do what is right. For the glory of God. Sin, this is one of my favorite verses. Underline it, highlight it, write it out 100 times, put it on your fridge, on your windscreen mirror, do what you like, but that's one of my favorites. Sin is no longer your master. For you are no longer under the requirements of the law. Instead, live under the freedom of God's grace. Hallelujah. We are more than conquerors. Nay, I'm reading King James Version now, verse 8:37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I'll read it in the New Living Translation for the younger generation and myself. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours. Young people, you're not saying amen. Yeah, and for me too, and you too, on all of us. And so, victory is ours through Christ who loved us. My question to close, are you a temporary resident of the kingdom of God? If you are, you're on dangerous ground. You can drift in, you can drift out just as quickly as you drifted in as a carnal Christian. A permanent resident is still living as a natural person, but trying to do it in their own strength. They're a spiritual Christian. They are spiritual. But the victorious ones is what the Lord is coming for. That's what he said. When he comes, he's coming for a spotless, holy bride. And many Christians say, oh, when he comes, we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. No, we misread that verse in 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, sorry, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says, this immortality will put on immortality. That's what it's talking about. It's not saying our lives will suddenly change. No, it doesn't say. The changing process takes place now. We are being changed into the image of Jesus Christ. And Father, with those words, sink it into our hearts, Lord, so that we will not be temporary residents of your kingdom. We won't even be permanent residents, but move from there to become conquerors, victorious citizens of the kingdom of God, that the world may see that Jesus came to give us new life, not when we see you face to face, but now, today, so that the world may know, that the church may know, you are a living God, and you give us new life. I pray this for all my brothers and sisters, all those who will be listening to it online. And I especially pray it for myself. Lord, that's my desire today, as you know it has been and will be forever. In Jesus' name, amen. I've chosen a wonderful song for us to sing, but I'm not asking us to just sing it for the sake of singing it as a closing song. I want you to make it a prayer. That's why I chose it. It is my prayer.